Shame and the Captives, written by Tom Keneally and read by Paul English and Heather Bolton. Gorwell Camp had begun as one large compound, a one-quarter slice of what was envisaged to become, eventually, a giant pie. Soon enough, though, with more Italians arriving by way of camps in India and a continuous trickle of Japanese from advances made by the forces of light in New Guinea and the Solomons, it grew to four compounds, four equal slices of the pie, within a perimeter that was circular, or close enough to it, subtly 12-sided to aid supervision and to facilitate lines of fire in the unlikely event of an outbreak. The camp was bisected down the middle by a road called Main Road, with strong, tall gates at either end. Main Road, for example, separated the Japanese warriors of Compound C from the Italians in Compound A. Halfway down, Main Road was crossed by a laneway, similarly diametric, named Kelly's Lane, to honour a famous Australian bandit from the last century. Across Kelly's Lane from the Japanese prison lay the second Italian compound, D. The fourth slice was Compound B, with its Japanese officers and former aged Japanese merchants from the South Seas or Australian ports, along with Taiwanese and Koreans and Indonesians, who hated the Dutch and might connive, therefore, with the Japanese who occupied their country. Compound B was a place of internecine assaults, the Koreans fighting each other or fighting Taiwanese. More 28-day detentions were earned there than in any of the other quarters. It was the Italian compounds that would come in time to take on more of the character of work camps for former combatants, for whom there existed no available shipping home. By the summer that would take 1943 into the new year, Italy had not only surrendered, but had itself declared war on Germany. And the fervour of the commissionaire, the devoted fascisti inside the Italian compounds, had shrunk. There were still, nonetheless, residual knots of devout fascists in both Italian compounds who held out hope that their leader and his German allies, in concert, would endure in the north of the Italian peninsula. But they were outnumbered by the hundreds who did not believe anymore, or who had never believed, and hoped, if it had not already happened to them, eventually to be allotted to farms up and down the inland of New South Wales.